It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome, everybody, to Money for Lunch. Man, this is, just an interesting time, right? If you guys have been watching the junk, for lack of better terms, on TV and internet, it is just more of the same junk. So I'm glad that you're here, because we filter all that stuff out and we really just focus on helping you with your business and trying to deliver experts and authorities that can help you elevate your business and your life, because as entrepreneurs, our life and our business are kind of intertwined. All right, so today, quote of the day: the ground beneath you is shifting, and either you get sucked in by holding on to old ways, or you take a giant step forward by taking some risk and seeing what happens. And that is by Bonnie Hammer. Great quote by Bonnie Hammer. All right, so let's get this ball rolling. Let's get the party started. My guest today is best-selling author Alan Adamson. Alan Adamson is noted industry expert in all disciplines of branding. He's also the co-founder and managing partner of Metaphors.co, the author of Brand Simple, Brand Digital, The Edge, 50 Tips from Brands That Lead, and his latest best-selling book, Shift Ahead. Prior to Metaphors, Alan was chairman of North America Landor Associates, a global branding firm, and we had a great time. If you guys haven't caught the show that we did a live Facebook show, and that is going to be up on our video channel soon. And anyway, so we had a great time. I wanted to bring him on here because, again, it's a different audience. Alan Adamson, welcome back.
Thanks, Bert. Thanks for having me back.
You bet. All right, so I want to dive into this and kind of put you on the spot a little bit and ask you, what muscles do you see or do you think leaders need in order to be able to shift when necessary?
Yeah, leadership, of course, is no surprise, is, you know, one of the key differences between organizations that stay current and relevant and those that become your father's Oldsmobile. And the one that, you know, resonated the most in our research was that leaders had a bit of perceptual vision. The ability to not only see what was directly in front of them, but see out the sides as to what might be changing around them was a really critical skill that separated leaders that were shifting ahead from those that weren't.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned your father's Oldsmobile. I think they're an interesting example. They're trying to make that shift, and I just don't see it happening. What's your take on their current campaign?
Well, I think all of the car companies are, you know, struggling to remain relevant in a world where two things. One is the difference in a car this year and one from 5 years ago is hard to, except for a few, you know, ability to sync with your iPhone better, you know, pretty much the same
right thing.
They're lasting longer, and whether you pay, you know, $10 or $20 for a car, they both have the coffee cup holders, and so differentiation that's relevant is waning, and so all of the car companies are struggling to say, hey, look at me, if you're going to buy a new car, I'm better, because it's hard to show that better. Everyone does the same thing, and, you know, in a world where people are starting to say, do I really need a car? Maybe I'll just Uber it.
Yeah. That, to me, seems like the greatest shift in the, you know, auto transportation industry, is this fact that we have literally a huge amount of people that aren't even buying cars. It's interesting, Alan, that I had a gentleman on the show, I want to say January of this year, and he's a demographer. He studies demographics. He's studying interesting shifts And one of the things that he noted is that in the last 3 years, we've had a massive decline in teenagers getting driver's license. You know, when you and I were growing up, it was like, you know, nobody.
It was a must-have.
Yeah, it was a rite of passage. That is now changing. And interestingly enough, the other thing that he noted in this research is that teen pregnancy has been steadily declining because there's no parking. There's no making out in the back of the car.
Yeah, and the other big change that's coming, I don't want to get too far off track, is that, you know, right now you buy a car and it sits in your garage overnight, and then you drive it to work, and then it sits in another garage, and you drive it home, and you may drive it to get a smoothie or go to the movies. You know, and when car sharing happens, and it's starting to happen in some markets, where while it's, you know, sitting while you're at work, somebody else can use it to go pick up their dry cleaning, all of a sudden you're going to find that, gee, if I can have five people share my car and pay me real money, that's sort of interesting.
I think that's an interesting, yeah, I think that makes so much sense, especially if you are, let's say, in a college-type community or maybe even an apartment complex where maybe you have a chance to know everybody that might be using that car. I think that makes total sense. So,
So there are other changes. And so, you know, seeing what's happening around you, you know, if you're in the car business and you're just looking at the three other competitors down the block on the lots and their cars look the same, you're not going to be seeing what may be coming down the pike.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. Getting us back on track, do you believe that you can actually teach someone to be able to see what's coming down the pike? Can you teach somebody to be able to shift ahead?
Well, you can tell them, you can give them a whole bunch of things not to do, which will increase their chances of, you know, shifting. One is to get out of your bubble, and we talked about this one. We talked before, but if you go into your office and look at a screen 8 hours and then go home, you're really not going to be seeing what's happening around you. So getting out, talking to customers, there's a quote that often the office furthest removed from the customer is the person running the place. You know, once they get to that point, they build themselves a nice office with a nice reception area, and they just close the door in their little cave, and they lose touch. So, you know, one of the things you can learn is that, you know, getting out, talking to customers, asking customers if they didn't buy your product, what were they thinking of? You know, company founders have this thing called the founder's mentality, and they're always nervous that their coffee doesn't taste good enough, or their guests won't come back, or people won't pick up their product next time they go into the store. And so they're constantly paranoid. They're constantly, you know, stopping people, say, why'd you buy this? Why didn't you buy that? They're just obsessed with making sure they understand, are they relevant and different to their customers? And then, of course, when success happens, you know, nothing breeds lack of change. Like, the more successful you are, you get more into the, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So it worked last year. Let's just do the same thing. We'll run the same promotion, and I'm sure it's going to work the same way, and, you know, of course, it never does.
Yeah, yeah. I think it takes a certain level of, I don't know, humility and a certain level of courage to say, hey, we need to constantly be uncomfortable or looking out of our comfort zone, or just because something's working doesn't mean it's going to continue to work. I mean, we obviously have a lot of examples. You and I talked about Blockbuster and Kodak and you know, there's just a bunch of companies that worked for a long time until they didn't.
Yeah, and that's the other piece of it, is that you can tell yourself you can do it, but it, you know, what happens to most successful business people is to become risk averse. You know, once you've done, you know, you just naturally become nervous. Is this, you know, I got a good thing going here, I don't want to break it. And ultimately, you know, if you aren't willing to take a chance and you lose your, when you first started the business, most people, you know, had a big risk. It was, you know, sink or swim, you know, never even done before, never did this before. You know, they had no choice but to be thrown into the deep end. And then they get comfortable with all the rafts on the shallow end and don't do much. And so another piece of it, besides, you know, seeing around the corner or looking a little perceptually, is just to be more comfortable with the risk. It's, you know, if, you know, change is going to, doing the same, any change will be more risky in the short term than doing the same thing. But doing the same thing will certainly be more risky when you're out of business 5 years from now.
Well, you know, and what's so interesting is that most people who start a company are taking a big risk.
Yep.
And so they're risking it all. And it's like you said, they get to this point of success and now they're risk averse. And I just find that so funny, but it's human nature, right? I mean,
right. You do when you're younger, you have no bills, and, you know, if it doesn't work out, you can always get a job at McDonald's. And so what the heck? And then all of a sudden, you know, 10 years later, you've got car payments, house payments. And then, you know, you've got golden handcuffs and any
yeah.
change you go, oh my goodness, if I don't, you know, I'm going to have to trade in my sports car.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, let me ask you this. In your research, in your experience, do you find that there are some industries or categories that are more difficult to stay relevant in than other categories?
Yeah, and it's not a big surprise. Yeah, categories that are changing faster if you're in the technology category, you can be on top of the mountain 1 month and you could be putting up the out of business sign next month. You know, there's certain categories, technology, fashion, that, you know, just moves so fast that doing the same old is, you know, for sure going to end you up in the junk heap. Some categories change a little slower. Food, although the food category is changing, just see what's going on in grocery stores around the country. And, you know, you can go down aisles, the cereal aisle of a supermarket, and you can hear the crickets chirping, and you have all these boxes of cereal all doing the same thing, all showing a lovely bowl of cereal with a strawberry and a splash of milk, and, you know, no one's going down the aisle. So, you know, even though the grocery aisle has been slow, even that's changing. So, you know, most people intuitively know the categories. If you're lucky enough to be in a very slow moving category, you have more time to figure it out. But that doesn't mean you can sit back in your chair and kick your feet up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I just thought about this. I think it's painful for a lot of individuals. I guess it goes back to being risk averse, like we just talked about, but you know, just a lot of pain associated with trying to make these changes. And I think that obviously what gets people stuck or stuck in that fear position. For those of you guys who are just joining us, I am, my guest today is Alan Adamson, who is the best-selling author of his latest book. It's called Shift Ahead, and you can get it at shiftaheadbook.com or on Amazon, shiftaheadbook.com. Shift Ahead, how do brands stay relevant in today's fast-changing world? That's what we're talking about. It can happen to anybody, and we see it happening all the time. And, you know, you mentioned technology, that technology is one of those places that is hard to stay relevant. But
and media is, too. I mean, look at what's going on in newspapers, magazines, radio, television. You know, everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, since last time you and I spoke, back in January or February this year, Time Magazine, an iconic media outlet, was sold for $2.6 billion. And then, of course, it was just bought a week ago by Mark Baranoff, I believe, from Salesforce.com. He didn't buy it for Salesforce. He just bought it for his own portfolio, but he paid less than $200 million. Talk about a massive shift.
Yeah, and I wrote a column about that in Forbes last week. And, you know, the interesting thing about him is that he's realized he's bought a startup. He hasn't bought a billion-dollar company. He's bought a startup. He's got to reinvent Time. You know, you can get your news, as everyone knows, from 1,000 places online. So just giving you news obviously is not going to be a product that people are going to pay for. So he's bought an empty empty shelf, and I was encouraged to hear him say he's going to treat it as a startup, not as a big established news magazine that people don't even know what a news magazine is anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting you said there, because I think the reality, one of the things that I see coming down, and I'm sure everybody sees this, I'm assuming everybody sees this, but I could be wrong, is not only are we can get the news from everybody and anybody, and there's a gazillion different apps that all basically tell you the same thing, but I am amazed that any media outlet today has a weather person. Because again, it's
one click and you can find your weather on your block, much less in your neighborhood.
Yeah, just like, you know, you have multiple weather authorities, the Weather Channel, you have the the National Weather people as well, putting out constant information about weather.
And half the time they're wrong anyway, but you can get it much easier than waiting for your friendly local weatherman to get in front of the map of the U.S.
Sure, absolutely. It just boggles the mind. But again, this is one of those scenarios where if you're in this industry, you certainly want to start looking how you can become more relevant, because at any given day now, you may be phased out for an app.
You're walking on thin ice.
Yeah, because honestly, I could see if I was a media outlet, I would simply say, hey, today's weather report is being brought to you by XYZ sponsor and the XYZ app. Boom, it's done. I mean,
yep.
It's that simple. And bottom line is, I see that happening. Let me ask you this: when did you first shift ahead personally?
When I went to this firm called Landor that you mentioned, and Landor's business was to look at companies that were at a transition point. So all of a sudden, instead of spending a couple of years in one category, every day I met with two or three companies in different categories: insurance, consumer goods, food. And, you know, you had to be able to shift gears really fast to understand what was going on, what was their problem. And even if I met with two insurance companies in a week, their problems were different, their culture was different. So it forced me to become a quick study as to what's going on, because no one came to us when business was booming. The only time they came to us was when they just missed their numbers and sales are falling and, you know, the sky's falling, don't know what to do. So interfacing with lots of companies that were in free fall forced me to just quickly see what was going on and just learn how to be a quick study or look at things with fresh eyes.
Yeah. You know, I think that's what a great position to be in, to be able to see that firsthand and realize that, you know, the ground literally is always shifting.
Yep.
All right, so let's talk about this. What's your favorite example in the news right now of a company that is in mid-shift?
You know, there's so many. I hate to pick on another car one, but it's really in the news, so I'll do it. And, you know, I think Tesla is in full shift, because they started off as a niche car maker selling very expensive cars, making a few of them, and for the last, I don't know, 6-7 years, doing phenomenally well. And then they decided to shift their game and say, well, you know, we don't want to be a car only for people who have oodles of money in California. We want to make a cheaper car. We want to make a car that more people can afford. So they set off on that mission, and they said, we're going to sell a lot of them. And so right now they're mid-shift. Can they go from being a specialty maker of a few la-di-da cars to a car company that can make lots of cars? You know, making one is hard. Making lots at a lower price is even harder. And, you know, do they have the skill set to go from a specialty to a mass marketer? In the next couple of weeks, we'll find out.
Yeah. No, I think it's a very interesting point. And I'm so glad you brought up Tesla, because I thought kind of the same thing. I mean, look, you are successful doing this one thing, and it's good to look at other ways of expanding the brand, but I in my opinion, and I'd love to get your feedback on this, is I don't believe that they had reached the first level of success yet. I mean, they were certainly getting there, and they certainly were successful. I don't mean to take that, anything like that away from them, but they hadn't reached that capacity. Am I explaining
it's hard to build a lot of things. It's a difference.
Yeah.
Lots of founders have a great vision.
Yeah.
In fact, Steve Jobs, when he first, going back to Apple, he had a great vision. He just didn't know how to do it at scale. And so, often the founders can start things and have a great idea, but when you get big, running a big organization, it takes a very different skill than starting a company.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this mid-shift does for Elon Musk and the great people there at Tesla. Mm-hmm. You know, Elon Musk, I think, is an interesting guy to follow because he has shifted so many different times, right? From PayPal
right.
to SpaceX to,
clearly, the electric cars are coming. Every other car company is, playing with it. He's ahead. But the change is coming. It's just a question of who's going to win that game. And, I don't think that's going to play out even if he hits a little bit more headwind. It's a big shift in how people get around.
Yeah, it really is. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be something worth keeping an eye on. And I love, first of all, I do want to say this. I love, Mark's take on Time Magazine. It's a startup. It's a startup
yeah.
with I want to say a decent amount of brand name awareness.
Awareness, but it's an empty, it's an empty jar. And if he doesn't put some good jelly beans in there, you'll walk right by it on the shelf.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how you make it relevant again. The book can be found at shiftaheadbook.com, shiftaheadbook.com. The book is Shift Ahead, How the Best Companies Stay Relevant in a Fast-Changing World. And today's guest is the best-selling author, Alan Adamson. Alan, thank you so much for stopping by again and sharing, and looking forward to catching up with you again.
Terrific. It was a pleasure being here. Thanks, Bert.
Oh, you bet. Good stuff there from Alan Adamson. And the book is incredible. Here's the reality. The minute you start to rest on your laurels, right, that's the minute you start to lose, right? There is no final whatever. There is no end in sight. The best you can do is get to whatever level you're going to get to and have an exit strategy. But if you want to remain relevant, you're constantly looking to make those shifts. And if you have a company and you're looking, and maybe you're at a certain level of success, I employ you to get Shift Ahead. I get no remuneration of any kind. I'm not an affiliate of any kind, but the book has a lot of great research. Shiftaheadbook.com is where you want to go. And if not, you can just look up Alan Adamson. Google his name. He's all over the place. Metaforce.co is the name of his company. If you're looking for a strategist, a consultant, or a speaker, there's a great place to go. As always, my friends, let's share this episode with everybody that we care about, anybody in business, anybody who's maybe a stuck and needs to consider making that shift. Let's share this episode with everybody we know. And as always, my friends, thank you for being here. And remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.